get your Bibles out and join me for the reading. This morning's Bible verse is from the New Testament, John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. May our hearts and minds be receptive to this morning's message from Pastor Dwayne. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning here this morning. Well, as you can see today, we're going to be talking about living on the vine. Just in case you misunderstood me, it's not living on the wine. It's living on the vine. I want to make sure you understood that. You probably heard the phrase living off the land or living on the land. Today we'll be talking about living on the vine. And when we talk about living off the land sustains you, and you don't necessarily need to go to the shops or other resources in order to provide for your needs. Everything you need to survive is right there on the land. And living off the vine can be thought of maybe in a similar way. John uses the illustration of a vine and a branch in order to describe our relationship with Christ. Just as the branch depends on the vine to survive, to supply what it needs in order to survive, so too does Christ in our relationship with Him. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that You've done for us, Lord. And Lord, I love the illustration John uses here, Lord. You are the vine and we are the branch. And so, Lord, as we dig a little bit deeper in this illustration and hopefully get a little bit better understanding of what that means for us here today, Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts and help us to see the truth that's there in Your Word. And we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. A little boy stepped onto an elevator with his dad at the Empire State Building in New York City, and he watched his dad press the button on the top floor. And the little boy watched eagerly as the panel flashed the different floor numbers, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. As they continued upwards, the boy began to feel a little bit nervous. And he took his dad's hand and he asked, "Daddy, does God know we're coming? Does God know we're coming? Do you get a bit nervous thinking about your appointment with God? What about His return? Do you think about Jesus and His return, His coming, and do you, maybe you feel a little bit, maybe a little anxious or maybe even a little bit ashamed? Maybe the life that you're living right now is not one that God would have for you, and to think about Jesus Christ's return, maybe you're feeling a little bit anxiety about it. Or maybe are you filled with confidence? Are you filled with excitement? Are you looking forward to it? Can you just bite in a bit, just wait for Jesus to come? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." How can we foster confidence and prevent feelings of shame at His future coming? Well, we abide with Jesus today. We abide with Jesus today. How do we feel? Not feel ashamed and feel that, have that confidence whenever Jesus Christ returns in the future. We abide with Jesus today, right now. This is what the Scripture says. It's encouraging for Christians to know that heaven awaits us. However, there is much more to the Christian life than just knowing that one day we're going to get to heaven. That's great. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. But our Christian life is more than that. Maybe we should start out with a question here. What is the essence of Christian life? What is the essence of the Christian life? I mean, to answer this, maybe we need to start with what the Christian life is not. It's not religion. It's not religious activity. It's not an institution such as a church. It's not a body of beliefs or doctrines. You can pour yourself into all of these things and you can still miss out on the very essence of the Christian life. And if not these things, then what is the essence of the Christian life? Well, the essence of the Christian life is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ, pure and simple. That's it. Jesus is the sum total of the Christian life. It's kind of like a marriage. I heard one guy say the difference between love and marriage is that love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. Yep, you guys are about to get married soon. You might want to write that down. That's good, eh? Joking aside, we understand that the ultimate essence and summation of marriage is being married to someone you love with all of your heart. Your mate is your marriage, or at least it certainly should be if you're married. You can read books and then you can attend seminars on marriage and understand intellectually the dynamics of the husband-wife relationship. You can go to weddings so often that you can repeat the vows from memory. You can talk about marriage. You can wear a wedding band or you can wear a wedding ring. But until you become one flesh with the person God has given to you, you're missing the very essence of marriage. You're missing out. You see, the essence of marriage is not the institution of marriage, nor the instructions about marriage. But the essence of marriage is the individual to whom you are married to. And in essence, the Christian life is the wonderful living person of Jesus Christ. It is knowing Him. It is loving Him. It is being loved by Him and enjoying fellowship with Him. It is being empowered by Him. The essence of the Christian life is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Get a hold of that here this morning. Get a hold of that. Listen to how the Bible describes our relationship with Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." What is this mystery among the Gentiles? This is something that the Old Testament saints knew nothing about. This wasn't revealed until we come into the New Testament. What is this mystery? It says right there, which is Christ in you. That is the mystery of the New Testament. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, notice how it's described there, Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me, notice how it's described, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you sort of getting the portrait that I'm trying to paint for you here this morning about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you sort of getting the idea here? So many people miss the very essence of Christian life because they are so easily distracted from Jesus, who alone is their life. They try to live their Christian life while distancing themselves from Christ. If we are not careful in our Christian walk, we will become consumed with doing something rather than being something. How do we as Christians have true intimacy with God? How do we as Christians have fulfillment and fullness of joy? How do we as Christians have true victorious living in all circumstances of life? Well, the answer is to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. That's the answer. John gives us a word picture here in John chapter 15 to help us better understand the idea of abiding in Christ. And he uses the illustration of a vine and a branch. In this illustration, we need to first understand that Jesus Christ is the true vine. Let's read this passage together, and then we will sort of come back and sort of break it down for you. But I want you to look at the context of it and see the context of it. And so I want you to have your Bibles open as well. You can follow along with your Bible. I know I've got it on the screen, but I want you to follow along in your Bible as well. You may want to go and take notes as we go through this message here today. But in John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So you see it right up, straight up, Jesus Christ is saying, "I am the true vine." And the vine dresser is his Father. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." What's the object here? What is the vine dresser looking for? What is he desiring? He is desiring that we bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. If you were to go back and read John chapter 13, Jesus Christ is there and he is washing the feet of the disciples. And he tells them, you are already clean. The initial clean and the continual clean is happening, is taking place. And notice you are clean because of the word. It is the Word of God that helps us stay clean. It is the Word of God that is the cleaning agent here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 talks about the sanctity, to sanctify and to be cleansed by the washing of the Word, it says. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." There's the relationship there. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." The key to genuine spirituality and joyful, victorious Christian living is simply to abide in Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ isn't about what we do, but rather it's about who we are. It's more about being something rather than doing something. And this relationship, I want you to notice what Jesus, the true vine, does for us. But Jesus, the true vine, he supplies consistent life to the branches. In this lovely vine-branch relationship, Jesus portrays himself as a life-giving vine that provides nourishment and life to his branches. He is also the true vine, it says. In fact, he is the only vine that can provide true life for us. The supply of life from Jesus flows constantly because he is life. Notice what he said to Martha whenever she was questioning the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus told her in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Then Jesus goes and asks her, "Hey, do you believe this? Do you believe this?" And maybe this is something that we need to ask you here today as well. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life? If not, come see me afterwards. I'd love to have a chat with you, and we can talk about that. No branch will ever, ever exhaust the life of Jesus Christ. It's not like Jesus has some limited supply of life-giving resources here. This is not what Jesus, he doesn't have life. Jesus is life. He is life. You're not going to exhaust that. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." the secret to true fulfillment, joy and strength and spirituality is to be abiding in Christ. As you abide in Him, His life flows consistently through to you. If you are connected to any other vine, then you are connected to a vine that will drain life and energy from you rather than supply you with life. There are some other vines that you can connect yourself to. You can connect yourself to your job or your wealth or your possessions or your sin and your addictions and your phone. I mean, how many people we see, you know, just sit there for hours, just flip, 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 flip. Or maybe they sit in front of the TV and they just hit the button over and over. And I mean, look, with all the channels that are available today, sometimes you feel like you spend more time trying to find something to watch than you do actually watching the TV, don't you? Sometimes we are connected to that. Sometimes we are connected to certain sins in our life as well. And I can tell you, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost you more than you want to pay. It will drain your life. How can you know which vine you're connected to? Well, ask yourself these questions. What occupies most of my attention? What consumes most of my thought life? What is it that really satisfies me or that you are attracted to? Something that you are longing for, you desire, you want constantly. If it is anything other than Jesus, well, then you're connected to the wrong vine. It is Jesus who gives consistent life to the branches. But also, He supplies connecting life to the branches. He supplies connecting life to the branches. In verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you," He says. Abide in me, and I in you. You cannot stay connected to Jesus without the life of Jesus being in you. It is the life of the vine and the branch that gives the branch the strength and the ability to stay connected. In verse 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." You've seen branches that have been disconnected from the vine. They don't continue to live. They dry up. They don't have the nutrients necessary in order to continue to live. And it says that they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now, don't be confused here. Just because this passage is speaking of fire doesn't necessarily mean it's referring to hell. There's a lot of times where the Bible speaks of fire and it's not referencing hell. In fact, even Jesus is compared to fire. Jesus here is speaking to believers. And once you are saved, you are secure in Christ. And nothing can separate you from Him. We don't need to take some obscure passages here and create a doctrine that goes and violates other scriptures in the Bible, which clearly says that you cannot be separated from the love of God. So obviously, there's something different going on here. This passage of Scripture is not referring to salvation, but is referring to your Christian life, your productivity. You are to be producing fruit. So the question is, are you producing fruit? It's not that your purpose, it's not that you are going to lose your salvation. It's about, are you producing fruit? And if not, well, then your purpose will change. Instead of living on the vine with Jesus and bearing fruit as you were meant to do, year after year, multiple times of a year, that you would go and you would produce fruit. If you're not doing that as you were meant to do, well, then your only use would be fuel for a fire. Your purpose is going to change. You can't build anything out of vine branches. They're too brittle. You can't make a structure out of vine branches. The vine is only good for either bearing fruit or fuel for the fire. And once you're in the fire, then you're done. You can no longer be of any use to God because He says, apart from Jesus, apart from me, you can do what? Come on, class. Nothing. You can do nothing. You cannot even cling on to the vine apart from Jesus. Hear me clearly when I tell you this. Jesus and Jesus alone is the sum total of the Christian life. but he also supplies constructive life to the vine. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." As the life of Jesus flows through his branches, he produces fruit. And only Christ can produce real and lasting spiritual fruit. Every man produces, at best, wood, hay, and stubble, but only Jesus can produce real, everlasting fruit. It doesn't matter how successful you are in business or how influential you may become or how wealthy or prosperous you may be. If you are disconnected from Jesus Christ, your life is a barren life. Understand that this morning. Jesus knew the first priority of the disciples must be to live in constant dependent on him as their vine. So, what are some of the characteristics of the branch in this relationship? Well, as a branch rests in the relationship with the vine. A couple of things you'll notice about this relationship. The branch is connected to the vine. A branch does not labor in order to remain in union with the vine. We don't see that today, do we? Have you ever seen a branch struggling to hold on to the vine? You're trying to pull itself back up. We don't see that in a relationship today. In fact, the branches don't hold on to the vine. Instead, they are actually one unit. They're one plant. they're one union. The life of one belongs to the other. Do you know that you are literally one with Jesus? In fact, the word abide there actually means to be one. That's what the word means. Your union with him, your oneness with him is intricate, it's complete, and the immediate union with his father with Jesus Christ is also like his union with his father. We imitate that relationship between us and Jesus Christ and his father. We see this in John chapter 17, verse 23. He says, "I and them." I, Jesus is speaking here, in them. He's talking about his disciples, and you in me. He's talking about his Father. And it's the same idea as abiding, as that Jesus Christ is abiding in the Father, so we need to be abiding in him, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. There's an old gospel song out there that has a refrain that says, "I'll just keep holding on, I'll just keep holding on." However, in a vine-branch relationship, you don't have to keep holding on. You don't have to keep holding on. You simply have to rest in the union you have with Jesus Christ. But also the branch is cultivated by the vine. The branch is cultivated by the vine. The life of the vine in the branch is what maintains the union. You see, as long as the vine continues to feed and nourish the branch with sap and with nutrients, the branch remains strong and firmly connected to the vine. Your relationship and your union with Jesus Christ, it is the life of Jesus himself that feeds and strengthens a union with him. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that your relationship with Jesus Christ is secure. Your union with Christ is complete. So your first responsibility in Christ is to rest in him. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He," notice this, "he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Who's doing the work here? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who labor and are heavy laden." What does he say? I will give you rest. Have you ever noticed how often the Lord describes our relationship with him as a relationship of rest? I don't know about you, but for me, the idea of life filled with rest and security sounds absolutely fantastic. Does that sound good? I'm thankful that my security in Christ depends on His life, not my labor. Therefore, I can rest in this wonderful relationship that He has given to me. So the first thing it means to abide in Christ is simply to rest in your relationship with Him. You are secure in Jesus. His life sustains you. You don't have to struggle to hold on to Him. You don't have to earn His approval. You don't have to perform for His acceptance. His love for you is unconditional. You simply have to rest in Him. Now, some of you need to quit struggling. You need to keep struggling so much in your life and just simply rest and relax in the wonderful, unconditional love and security of Jesus Christ. Just simply love Him in return. A branch also receives life from the vine. A branch receives life from the vine. A branch lives in total dependence on the vine. If the vine dies, then the branch dies. If the vine lives, then the branch lives, because the branch lives in total dependence on the vine. The branch receives its very life from the vine, and so we also receive our life from Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you will allow Him to do so, Jesus Christ will literally pour Himself and pour His life into you. And you will be able to say, like Paul, hey, it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. On the cross, Jesus gave His life for you. In the resurrection, Jesus gives His life to you. You see, we are to draw our life from the Son just as the Son drew His life from the Father. Jesus did only what He saw the Father doing. Jesus only said what He heard the Father saying. Jesus said it was the Father who was working through Him. Jesus living in total dependence on the Father. And just as the Son lives in total dependence upon the Father, so we are to live in total dependence of the Son. Let me give you four words that will help you with your application here this morning. First of all, admit. Admit. Continually admit your deficiencies without Him. Jesus says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. You will never live in dependence on Jesus and draw your life from Him until you truly understand and admit that you are totally helpless, incompetent, inadequate. Most people don't really understand their inadequacy until their backs are up against the wall and they come to the end of themselves through some crisis. You will never depend on Christ until you lose confidence in yourself and you trust Him completely. Also, next word is acknowledge. Continually acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Everywhere we turn, people are talking about how bad things are getting and things that are happening in our world, and you got extreme people that are out there that are doing bad things, or things are getting out of control, and I'm convinced that we probably watch maybe a little bit too much news because it seems like everything on the news is always bad. I think people are attracted to that, I guess, and that's why they continue to put stuff like that on the news, because it seems like there's bad news. We don't have to look too far to find bad news all around us. In fact, I even heard about a doctor who came in one day and told his patients, I've got some bad news and I've got some worse news. The bad news is that you have 24 hours to live. The worst news is I'm a day late in my rounds. See, there's bad news all over the place. We can always find bad news. Sure, there's bad news, bad things going on in the world. But in spite of all of this, believers have to acknowledge Jesus daily, even moment by moment, and place our total dependence upon Him. We don't have to be anxious or worried about our future when we depend on the Creator of the universe. God truly rewards those who depend on Him, and not depending on your money or your job or your nationality or your race or your religion, your church, your pastor, your spouse, your president, your politics, your government, or anything else. Listen, you want to depend on Jesus. Constantly, in every situation and in every circumstance, we need to be verbally and mentally confessing our dependence upon Christ. The next word is accept. Continually accept Christ's life as your supply. We should continually be praying something along these lines. Lord, I accept the strength that you are providing for this situation. Lord, I accept the power that you are providing in this temptation. Lord, I accept the authority that you have given me over Satan. Lord, I accept the victory that you are giving in my circumstance. Lord, I accept the wisdom that you give me in this decision. Lord, I accept the joy that you've given me through these dark circumstances. Do you recognize and accept your need for Jesus today? In every hour, every need, you need to verbally and mentally accept the sufficiency that Christ supplies to you. But also we need to act. Continually act on Christ's life as your strength. People put so much credence in material things of this world, and they will do anything they can to protect their stash. But when you become a Christ follower, God, in reality, gives you something much more valuable than diamonds or gold or silver or anything else that money can buy. He gives you a treasure trove of valuables like peace and purpose and fulfillment, meaning and passion and strength and forgiveness. That can go on and on. However, as we go through life, we get distracted by things that aren't really important, and we allow the thief, Satan, to come in right up under our nose and steal the most valuable treasures that we have. The things that God has given to us that we could never earn or deserve. These things that money could never buy. Then we wonder why we feel so empty on the inside. We wonder why we feel like we're always running on empty and we're on the verge of burnout, just numb, just going through the motions of life. It's because our treasure box is completely empty. The things that God says that are yours, are the things that He wants you to have are just empty. There's nothing in there because we don't continually act on Christ's life as our strength. The branch lives in total dependence on the vine. And we must admit our helplessness, acknowledge our dependence, and accept Christ's life and provision, and act on Christ's life as our strength. But one other thing regarding the branch is it reproduces the life of the vine. It reproduces the life of the vine. In verses 4 and 5, it tells us that there is no other way to bear fruit except through Jesus Christ. You cannot bear fruit on your own, no matter how gifted you are, no matter how many successful seminars that you may have attended, no matter how goal-oriented you may be, or how disciplined you are, or how well you plan. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't even achieve something on your own, or if you do, it's going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to be genuine fruit. Only Jesus can produce true, valuable, lasting, eternal fruit. And He wants to do that by working through us. He wants us in order to produce that fruit. So what are the characteristics of Christ's fruit? Well, first of all, we see Christ's fruit is being a worshiper. We quit focusing on ourselves and we start focusing on God. When a person is bearing spiritual fruit, his life is patterned after Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Go back through and have a think about your life right now. Does these characteristics, do they represent you? Are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that describe you here this morning? Well, if not, then maybe you need to get connected to the vine. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Does your life produce the fruit of praise and the fruit of the one who daily worships God? I mean, think about your conversations that you just had last week. Do you spend all this time whinging and complaining about all the things that's happening in your life? Or do you take the time to really try to find something, find a reason where you can go and you can worship the Lord by the fruit of your lips, thanking God for all that he has done for us? Listen, you don't have to look too hard to find something to praise God about. It's there. But yet, we still seem to think that we do more whinging and complaining than we do praising the Lord, don't we, if we're honest? But also, Christ's fruit is being a watcher. You watch for those that are in need. When the Apostle Paul received a financial gift from the church of Philippi while he was in prison in Rome, he wrote to them and he thanked them. And this is what he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He was saying, it is not that I want to receive a gift from you necessarily, but I love seeing the fruit of your love relationship with Christ. Those in Philippi saw a brother in need and they responded. And Paul says, I love that. I love seeing that. And Paul talked about another group of people who are watching for the needs of others. In Romans chapter 15, verse 26, it says, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Man, we need to be like Jesus. We want to watch out for the needs of others. I'm kind of like Paul, man. I get excited to hear about those in our church who are concerned about the caring for others and the needs of others in our church. And I really like it when I don't even have to get involved. Sometimes, man, I'll show up at church and then somebody was telling me, oh, yeah, you know, they so-and-so had a need and this other person found out about it and they went and took care of it. And I was like, hey, beauty, great, wonderful. I love hearing that. I love to hear how you guys are always taking care of each other. That's wonderful. I don't have to come up beside you and try to give you the elbow. Hey, did you hear about this guy? Hey, maybe you should do something about it. Man, if God has given you the ability to do something about it, well, then do it. But also we see that Christ's fruit is being a worker. When Christ is reproducing his life in you, you will do the same good works that he did when he walked and he ministered among us as a man here on earth. Listen, in John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, watch this, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Listen, Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he will continually work through you just like he did here on earth. His ministry has not changed. He is still in the fruit-producing business. He still wants to produce fruit through you. We are laborers in his harvest. But Christ's fruit is also being a witness. It's also being a witness. The people who are one to Christ in the Bible is called fruit. Notice it is by bearing this kind of fruit that we glorify God. Go back to John chapter 15, verse 8, and it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciple. Again, my Father is glorified. How is he glorified? That you bear much fruit. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's desiring. And so you will be my disciple. Or another way of saying that is showing yourself to be my disciple. If you say that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, one of the ways that you show that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ is by bearing much fruit. We don't necessarily glorify God with our beautiful manicured church edifices, and we don't have to worry. We don't necessarily glorify God through maybe wonderful music productions and presentations, though we have a great music team that I'm grateful for. Thought I'd get a response there. Sorry, guys. We don't glorify God necessarily by top-notch websites and innovative advertisements. We don't necessarily glorify God through our well-planned worship service, even though all those things are important. And I think those things are beneficial. They're wonderful. They're good. However, when we bear true fruit of Jesus Christ, that is when we are reproducing His life. And that is when we are glorifying the Father. Let me encourage you with that here this morning. There's a story told of Dr. Winter. He is a famous heart surgeon, and he received a call to go and rush to the hospital. Immediately, there was a boy that was in need of his particular surgical skills, and he was the only one that could save his life. Well, the doctor was thinking through this as he was rushing around, trying to think of the best way to get to the hospital, and the quickest route to the hospital would be through a very dangerous part of town. But in spite of the risk that's happening here, he was thinking, you know, I've got to get there. I got to get to that young boy. So the doctor decided to risk it. And as he went through this dangerous part of town, and he happened to stop at one of the lights there, a man jumped in his car and demanded that he get out of his car. And he says, "Give me your card." And the doctor was trying to explain to him, "Listen, I'm a doctor. I've got to go to the hospital. They need me right now. I've got to do emergency surgery." But the man didn't want to listen to him, and he went and took his car anyway. The doctor actually literally ran to the hospital. It took him about 2 hours to get there. And he goes inside, and the nurses tell him that it's too late. The young boy had died 30 minutes earlier. She said, "The father's in the chapel, and he's very upset with you." Well, the doctor went to the chapel, and to his horror, the man whose son had died was the same man who stole his car. And the father looked up, and to his horror, he realized his tragic mistake. He had pushed aside the only man in the city who could save his son's life. If you are here this morning and you've never been connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ, let me encourage you here this morning, don't push him aside. Don't push him aside. Don't push him away. He is the only one who can help you today. He is the only one who can truly give you everlasting life. No matter what you do, if you're not abiding in Christ and you're not resting in Him, you're not receiving His life and you're not reproducing His life, then you are missing out on the very essence of the Christian life. You're missing out. For those who are believers but have lived a life independent of Jesus Christ, listen, He wants you to recommit your life here this morning. He wants you to recommit by abiding in Him this morning. Pray and confess your sin. Get reconnected with Jesus Christ. He desires a moment-by-moment relationship with you. Let me ask you, will you submit your life to Him? Will you pray, "Heavenly Father, I'm inadequate, I'm incompetent, I'm inferior, I'm insufficient for every task, and though I can't, You can. So please help me, Jesus, help me to abide in You." And when you call out to Jesus like this, look, He shows up in your life in a mighty way. Are you connected to the vine here today, to the true vine of Jesus Christ? If not, boy, I would love to spend some time with you this week to help you get connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all that You've done for us. And Lord, as we look at this illustration here today, Lord, for some of us, it may be convicting. As we think about our life, maybe we have never known You as Jesus Christ, as Savior. And so, Lord, for those that don't know Christ, I pray that You would have Your Holy Spirit just touch their heart here this morning. They would recognize their need, and they would call upon You to save them, Lord. Lord Jesus, You died for us on the cross. You gave us Your life. And so, Lord, help us to recognize that. Help us to believe it. And help us to call out on You to save us, Lord, to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our Master. And help us to be connected to You. But, Lord, for others that maybe they're saved, Lord, but their life that they're living hasn't really reflected that. And, Lord, maybe they're even struggling right now. And it's because they're not connected to You, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that this will be a timely reminder for us all that we need to abide in you. Help us to be one with you as we walk through our Christian life. And Lord, I pray that it'll be evident in our lives as we bear much fruit for you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.